just going to do a quick. What does it sound?
He's sinking them.
Oh, that's what we mean the trade.
That's what you do as a clapperboard
yeah.
for.
Yeah. There you go.
I've got one on my phone that doesn't. We should keep this on because it's like the behind the scenes. Yeah. Or if you put this out as a separate podcast, because folk love that shit.
Yeah, the technical run through.
Yeah,
the technical run through.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm known as Jack.
Studio. Is that like your?
Is that your thing now?
Is that your thing? Is that your catchphrase? Your intro?
Yeah.
I'm known as Jack.
Yeah, now, that's what the sick doctor does.
I think it has to be said that no matter what you may have heard on any other one that comes out after this, this is absolutely the first one for Halloween that we recorded.
Chronologically.
And we're having to put them out chronologically because of my OCD.
Right. So chronologically by the year of the film.
Yeah.
Which is a massive clue.
Yeah.
Because I just know what the other film is.
We are watching a Hammer film production.
Really?
Of Mr. Dennis Wheatley's.
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry to tell you what it's called,
are
This is not helping. It now says the Devil Rides Out. In case anybody actually listens along.
From the year of our Lord?
1967.
Why are we watching this, Craig?
Why are we watching this?
We wanted to do three Halloween specials.
Uh-huh.
In this order.
We decided the other ones, well, they're still to be done, obviously. But we thought we'd go with a Hammer. Sorry. And rather than go for the usual Hammer, Frankenstein or Dracula's, we thought we'd go for this because Chris, you have a bit of a fondness
for
Dennis Wheatley as well, don't you?
Yeah, this is one of my favourite films. And I don't have a particular likeness for Dennis Wheatley's books, none of which I have ever read.
I was going to ask about that, okay.
Never read a Dennis Wheatley book.
I like the illustrations on the covers.
Do you?
Well, in the 70s, there used to be sort of boobs.
And I think also that up until 1978, Bruce Forsyth looked like a Dennis Wheatley character. Slightly demonic.
Bruce Forsyth, wasn't he? I mean, I say younger, I mean relatively speaking.
Oh, do you mean like Beat the Clock era?
Yeah,
like Palladium's
even for Big Night Out time.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Basically,
when he got the false teeth. And the false teeth.
Then
he became a bit less satanic looking. Yeah. Anyway.
He could be listening to this now then.
He could be, yeah.
There aren't many films that start with somebody arriving in their own plane.
No.
Especially not a biplane.
Is that the same car that's in Goldfinger?
What, just the runabout yellow Rolls Royce?
Yeah, they even made a film
the yellow
about
Rolls
it because it was kicking about the British film studios.
With John C. Scott, I seem to remember. That's a sort of portmanteau film.
That chap looks like he's wearing rather modern clothes there.
With the sort of lumber shirt and the jeans and all that. Yeah, but he's wearing a nice pair of black formal
shoes. What's the portmanteau film, did you say? You said the special
ones.
The
yellow Rolls Royce, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sort of passes from one person to another.
We should say we're watching the Blu-ray.
Yes, it's a lovely picture.
And it is an absolutely stunning picture, isn't it? It's beautiful. Look at that.
So anybody who knows the Dennis Wheatley books, which doesn't include me, but it's like Steve Williams not liking Doctor Who, but liking all the stuff on Doctor Who DVDs.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I've watched quite a lot of documentary stuff about Dennis Wheatley.
Okay.
So I know stuff about him.
So what is the kind of gist of his little kind of track of Satanism and whatever?
Well,
he hit on the
occult, like posh occult, posh people doing the occult.
Okay.
And was massively successful with it, I suppose, before anybody really bothered with that.
When was he around then?
So,
oh wow.
Well, he died in the
mid-70s.
It must be quite late '70s.
Yeah.
Because we watched that.
Looks like the house from Flash Gordon.
It also looks a bit like the house from with the thing on top of it from Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
We watched a program where Robert Robertson,
interviewed him.
The word behind him was disinterested.
Yes.
But that was that not like some 77 or something?
Yeah.
And he died not long after it.
Yeah.
So but he only started writing, as he loved to tell people, quite late on.
Right.
Because he was broke. He was posh. Okay. He was a worst kind of sort of.
So what was he doing
person.
For
he was posh and broke.
He was in like fucking banking or shipping.
No, and it was wine. His family had a wine business.
Right, okay.
And he was in that. But
there's a slight problem here that the subtitles haven't stopped being coming up.
I was going to ask about that.
I did so late.
There's
not
a lot of chat.
I can fill us in so far. We don't have to stop and start again.
No. Actually, I mean, we can. I could basically talk along with it, frankly, to be honest.
Can I just say that's the toughest man in England?
Patrick Moore?
Yeah, very much so.
Why?
He is new.
He was quite tough, yeah.
Yeah, there
oh, there they are, they're on there.
I suppose he was, particularly in Target.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Toughest man in England.
Anyway, Dennis Wheatley wrote all these books. His first one, Smash! Smash it! Ah, he can tell a story. Uh-huh. My word, he can tell a story.
Yeah.
Googly eyes.
And the Duke de Richelieu, as played by Christopher Lee, in a rare goody role.
Yeah, I know, absolutely.
Is his main character.
Her
eyes are amazing.
I am Max Power. Most people would have remarked on my googly eye by now.
He looks very much like a baddie though in this.
Oh, no, there's your baddie.
There's a baddie.
Oh, yes.
Mokata.
Jack,
played by Charles
if you're in
Gray.
A room and Charles Gray's there,
yeah,
he's a baddie.
Yeah, that's what
he's your sick. Man here, what's his name? Rex. Because
mm-hmm.
They wrote these books and they had these heroes. They were based on, ripped off from, the Three Musketeers. The Duke de Richelieu,
oh,
Rex,
really? Okay.
Simon,
whatever. Uh-huh. Okay.
The guy that plays Rex is the only other thing that I know of him in. Is a funny thing happened in The Way to the Forum.
Oh,
where he plays Miles Gloriosus.
Aye.
Because he was an operatic tenor. Or bass, sorry. He was a baritone.
He looks like Rod Taylor a bit, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. But he was a singer, really.
Yeah.
I don't know who plays him with the googly eyes. It's not Gwen Frankum Davis or somebody like that.
Googie Withers.
Hey!
Boom!
Boom!
You should. It wasn't that old. Wasn't even that guy that used to be in all the Laurel and Hardy films. Scottish guy.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Andy.
Doll. He was. Oh, that was where they got Doll from, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Anyway, they've arrived at the house. The
okay.
house. And
he says he's going to be supper party.
But they're meant to be there for a reunion of the pals.
Okay.
And Patrick Moore's dad used to be one of the pals.
Right.
So he steps in for them. So they come back for the reunion, the biplane and the Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah.
There's something.
And he gets to the house and there's all these fucking weirdos.
Is it Eddie Murphy from Trading Places on the far right? A bunga, a bunga, a bunga. Yeah, hey!
That's plenty, you know. And he's saying, listen, beat it.
It's all...
Can you not see there's red candles and shit?
Yeah.
Well, I love the way.
Is this like a cult?
It's from the Black Candles.
Well, you don't know yet. You don't know yet, Jack.
It's gonna be.
But the film is called The Devil Rides Out.
Okay. Yeah.
You've got to ride out for somewhere. Yeah. With one of those perms, probably.
There's Spencer Tracy on the right then. Just looking for cock.
And of course, your man that was. What was he, number 12 or something? In The Prisoner?
Never
he was the one that was there every... Well, in The Prisoner, there was the wee baldy guy.
Oh, right.
There was a different number two, but there was always the same guy who was a sort of sidekick and did the actual work.
Okay.
That's him there.
We've never talked about The Prisoner, have we?
I've never seen it. Across.
You've never seen The
Prisoner?
No, we
have mentioned. We've mentioned before that he's never seen it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this.
Why have you never seen it?
I don't know. I've got it in the house. I've got the DVD box. I've just never got around to it.
Right,
it doesn't appeal to you?
I've got
yeah,
the box
it does, yeah.
Except it's in VHS.
Yeah. No, it does. I just, you know, there's always old Yes Ministers to watch.
Well, The Prisoner, I don't watch all of it very much, but I watch Fallout reasonably regularly.
Right.
Incredible piece of work.
Yeah,
that's the finale.
Uh-huh.
But the...
Is that when you need to get your fix of Leo McKern?
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he is great.
You could have finished that sentence after the word phenomenal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he's walking around. He is particularly phenomenal in that.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, here we go. He's on to him. You see?
Oh, you see?
He's right up his back.
What
passage.
Is that?
That's for when you're at an old American baseball game in the 1920s, and you stand at the side going,
"Peanuts, peanuts." That's really unusual, man, because it looks like it's almost like a fire extinguisher.
I know,
what the fuck would they have it in the hall?
Look at that, though. What a magnificent temple!
It is beautiful. So, are these three the goodies then?
Yes.
There's good news.
Well,
no,
those two are.
Okay.
Simon in the middle's fallen under the ways of the Dark Ones.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. Yes, he was the one.
It's basically a battle to save his soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simon, those cunts. Oh, charts. Sorry.
Simon, who are those cunts? Who's that cunt with a googly eye?
Stop hanging around with them. I've told you before.
They're no good cunts.
Would you deal with them? Or dingy them?
But there's not just Patrick Moore, there's the lassie as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find out who the other goodie is
in
good time, which is a particular treat.
Excellent.
So, what's great about this scene... is that he now goes to the cupboard and finds a chicken.
A chicken, okay.
Yeah.
Well, black cop.
Yeah. Finds a big black cop. Racist. And that's when he starts to suspect not the charts on the wall or the giant goat's fucking head on the parquet floor.
He knocks him about a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah. He says, "You bloody fool."
When I was a kid, I was quite frightened of Patrick Moore's nose, and I'm still slightly scared of it now.
Just his nose?
Yeah, it's very sharp. Quite distinct nose. He's got quite flary nostrils.
The era of high-definition video disc has not been kind to Christopher Lee's hairpieces.
No, they haven't. No, I actually hadn't noticed that before. That's a belter.
So why do you like Dennis Wheatley so much, then, apart from his books?
Well, you mean the person?
Well, as in the whole thing around him.
I don't know. I think it's just it's quite a singular, person, Dennis Wheatley. I mean, he was a classic, you know, rabid right wing, you know, Jack's not as good as his master, equality is slavery and all that sort of thing. But if you're going to be surprised or shocked that somebody's like that when they've been to fucking Harrow or something and their family had a wine business in London, you probably need to readjust your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about him in that documentary that you showed me, and the first part of it shows him when he lived in his huge house down in sort of Dorset or somewhere before he sold that and then moved back to
a service flat in Chelsea.
Exactly, yeah. I think he'd lost his wife, hadn't he?
Mm.
But what I liked about that was that he was
She died.
Yeah.
She wasn't just wandering around the grounds.
He lost her to the Black Arts. He was obviously still really into his wife. And so was she. He was obviously really into his wife, and they were really happy in their massive house, just getting steaming.
Yeah, no, basically. Absolutely.
Well, look at that, guess what he's doing.
Mm.
It's a lovely wallpaper, that. Mm. That would be nice in here.
Yeah,
that would work well here.
You've got a fancy for that sort of Peugeot-esque
haven't you? Quite a big drop on that, though. So,
I'm talking about Christopher Lee.
So, anyway, he starts writing these books, which are immediately massive.
Yeah.
And before they fought the forces of darkness, they fought the forces of Bolshevism. Wow. This is in the '30s.
Yeah.
Very important. Put them in that order.
Yeah. And anyway, he just stumbled across as he said himself, it's not something that people were writing about.
Hmm.
But I kind of like to do that thing. You know, like Spielberg does, like a lot of really successful people in their own field do, where they try and belittle what they do.
Yeah.
So like Spielberg would say, the shark broke down, which I just don't believe.
Yeah.
But Wheatley would say, I my spelling is terrible, my grammar is awful, I write it all longhand, but I can tell a story, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. But actually, I saw somebody discussing, a book critic discussing it, a publisher it was actually, and they were saying he was the first person that did things like he used to put at the back of his paperbacks a questionnaire, and you could put in how much did you want to more of this or more of that, do you like these characters, this was in the 30s.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So his books were clever, and he also himself admitted that they were the first ones that had a cliffhanger at the end of a chapter. So you had to move on to the next chapter. There was no close. And then another chapter. You know, it was all devices like this.
Very Dan Brown now.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I would like to think these are better written, but they probably aren't. Anyway.
But Dan Brown, I've only ever read The Da Vinci Code. It's just what everybody did when it came out.
Yeah.
It's honkingly written, but you read it to the end. There's no question about it.
Well, you read it to the end, apart from anything else, because when you get to the end, you go, fuck, was that it?
Aye. It was her all along.
Yeah, really. Well, there's chapters.
Something to do with her womb.
Some chapters that don't fill a page.
Have you tried to read any of Wheatley's stuff? Have
you? I think I might have done when I think I read them.
Yeah, when I was really young, I'm pretty sure I read one or two. But they had a sort of reputation then of being, we don't want to mess with that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I kind of think we had a couple in the house.
Anyway,
book clubs sold them.
Yeah, school libraries had them and things. Not the covers with the tits on them, although they would be drawn on.
Well, you went to a Catholic prep school, presumably, so that would be...
No, well, bear in mind, I was only there the first year.
We naked priests on the front cover or something. The Jesuits.
Come in here and have a look at this.
Give me the boy. And I'll pump him somewhere off.
So he's hypnotised Simon.
Okay.
And he's put a cross on him. and said away.
Oh, directly to my bedroom.
Away you go. I just put it's a right cross on him just before it.
We're back with the Jesuits again.
And they say, away you go and have a wee lie down, son. The butler will show you upstairs. He'll show you to your room. Don't go into the toilet with him.
Yeah, he's in there in one of those all over white suits like in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So how many books did Wheatley do then?
Look, the 430,000. Sorry, the Cantors.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Cantor spot. He did a lot though, didn't he?
How many books did he publish? Yeah. It was about 60 or something, wasn't it?
See the main actor that plays Rex?
Yeah.
He's not Welsh, is he?
I think I recognise him, but I can't remember who he is.
He's a male baritone. So, yeah.
He's not the one that's got the great line in Zulu. They're fighting for bass, but they've got no top tenor.
No, I don't.
He was a famous singer, wasn't he? George or no?
Yeah, George O'Dennis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he can certainly look up IMDb trivia for us.
That's true.
The action fairly zips along.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hang about.
Mm-hmm. 50 minutes in, he's telling you all what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've kidnapped him.
Well, I mean, they basically landed the plane, went to the house and found a satanic coven. Mm-hmm. You know, Dillion.
So has there been many? That's good. That's quality little Scotch egg.
It's not rattling about inside.
No,
that's good. You can't eat. I mean, little egg.
Semi-firm egg.
Can I say, as well as having a set of decanters in a room,
mm-hmm.
I also like a room in a film that's got a chess set up.
Yeah.
Mm.
The ultimate chess set stroke decanter set in any film.
Uh-huh.
It's Andrew Wyke's house in Sleuth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's
the house
good
in
house.
Sleuth is an
although,
amazing
although, to be fair, you say that about almost anything in Sleuth. Every room is the best room.
Yeah.
They are expect, although I would always insist
Sleuth is a great house.
Pretty much the best film ever made. In the same way that I somehow find my way home is the best song ever made.
Sleuth is
it is in the same way as that.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And that it's not.
Yeah. Hey, I love the way he says, this is ridiculous, by now.
Aye. These are facts. The proof is in the hamper.
This is a bit like your thing about Agent Scully just willfully annoying.
Aye, she's just taking the piss by that stage. You must know by now. Last week, the Jersey Devil grabbed your Knox. You know, you must know this shit's going on.
The Loch Ness Monster just ate that subway train.
Aye, come on.
Something's happening. We're not saying it's the Loch Ness Monster, but something's happening. So he's off.
So there's a lot of Dennis Wheatley films him?
Not that many, really. I mean, there's this, and there's To the Devil a Daughter, which is basically famous for having Richard Widmark salivating at Nastassja Kinski's underage bush.
There's Triumph of the Will.
there's Beats Down Sambo, the Bolshevik, which is another one. A belter. Hello. That's the curtains getting parted.
Ooh. Oh.
This, of course, is directed by Terence Fisher.
Mm.
Lord Terence Fisher, as he ought to have been. One of the great film directors.
It does look beautiful.
It does look beautiful. He's responsible, really, more than just about anyone for the hammer
film.
Look, you know. And he was an amazing film director.
The look of it is as much as anything is the reason why I watch it.
Yeah,
everything about
that.
It is beautiful.
And this is like, you know, Fine Ruby Port or really good dark chocolate. And It's a night between now and Christmas, late on, in the house with the lights down low.
Oh, no, if you came home after, say, you'd been working late or you'd had to go to somebody's fucking party you didn't want to, and you turn on the telly, you're not working the next day, but you want a cup of tea and you turn on the telly and this is on, you think, God is good.
Yeah.
Non-existent, but good.
When's this set?
You should get, well,
it's set in
the 30s, I think.
I think the plane sort of suggests it's 30s.
Yeah.
Which is in keeping with what you might say about Hammer in a future podcast.
Yeah, Hammer tended... if I were asked to talk about this, I might talk about the fact that Hammer were,
I think maybe
generally speaking, did period films.
Right, okay.
As opposed to other studios, like Tygon.
But I don't want to... Tygon just made whatever they can be bothered with at that point. I'm just kind of... I don't want to get in the way of something we might talk about early today.
The tie pin is a disappeared thing.
Yeah. Really so.
Even posh people don't wear tie pins.
I always thought that afterwards your tie must be full of holes.
Yeah.
That can't be good
for that. You couldn't just use the same hole all the time, could you? It would just get bigger and bigger.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Look at the tea that's been set out for them.
It's not a very
There'll be a wee cold bite. Is it a piece of ham on the end bit of a Scottish plate? Not on the end of a plain loaf. and the stuff to make a cup of tea? No!
It makes this look a wee bit sparse, actually.
Where is everyone?
Well, this is at...
night time.
Oh, okay.
You're trying to work out what's going on. It's a beautiful set, look at that. He did sets well, did old Terry Fisher.
Do you think he's like Marion Clune?
What?
Executive producer of Acorn Antiques. Right. Who say...
Are they close?
I want all these antiques back in my front room in one piece.
What is that there?
It's actually something for snuffing out fire.
Yeah, for enormous candles.
Or for really small, thick people.
That section of the film's a little bit grainier. Look at that.
I got that.
They've obviously had to try.
Well, there are other disappeared things.
They've obviously had to.
Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
That bit's a wee bit grainier there.
So is this all just in this house?
No. No, it's called Race with the Devil, for God's sake. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
The devil rides out, sorry. The devil rides out. If the devil rides out, you're not going to do it in that house, are you?
Race with the Devil, that sounds like
you've yet to see. It is a good film, actually. It's a 1975 film with Warren Oates and Peter Fonda.
The devil rides in. Stays in.
Stays in for that.
The devil stays in. Have you seen Race with the Devil? You must have. It was one of the old... double bills. It's Peter Fonda, Brenda Vaccaro, I think, Warren Oates, and then the other woman. They're two couples, and they've
Vaccaro.
They've got a big sort of, mobile home thing, and they're driving about, and they see devil worshippers kicking about and doing their business, and then they're chasing them. It's quite a violent sort of chase movie. It's really good.
Yep.
Oh dear. The occult is what's his name calls it in Raiders of the Lost Ark, William Poots.
Oh yeah,
the occult.
So do you love this one then?
It was a nut in
the I do like this one very much. I mean, it's Chrissy's kind of request for the evening. But yeah, I mean, I've got the Blu-rays. You see, I love it. It's a terrific movie. It's we'll probably talk in other ones about absolute favourites horror films. It wouldn't be my top three or five, but it's high up. You know, it's
like The Wicker Man.
It's very difficult to imagine.
The Wicker Man's not a horror film, as we keep saying.
No, that's undeniable.
Yeah. It's a crazy ass musical.
It's a great film.
It's a great film. I love it. It's a great film.
We did a commentary on it.
We all love The Wicker Man.
Yeah. But I think we proved quite conclusively it's not a horror film.
It's not a horror film.
The ending is quite horrific.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes are from a different movie.
Yeah. The last reel belongs to a different film.
Yeah.
But I do like the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely, What's not to like? All these Scots actors from the telly running about in the buff. Ingrid Pitt in the buff.
Yeah, and it's got, nice atmosphere. And
Dan Cilento.
I even don't mind the obvious dubbing of the
songs. No, that's fine,
Because it seems somehow to fit. But now we're doing the commentary for The Wicker Man again.
Which we've already
done. Let's get back to The Devil Rides Out. Yeah. And here comes the first bit of spooky business.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
That shit myself when I saw this as a kid.
Yeah, it works, doesn't it? It's quite a simple effect, but it works. They're slightly labial and strange-looking, those eyes.
Are they?
Yeah.
And they have smoke coming out of them.
Yeah, here you go.
So what makes you think that?
Who's this badger?
This is badass.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It's a black fellow. Oh, my God, he's black.
What he makes you so black?
No.
Here.
Don't look at the eyes.
Don't look at the eyes.
How does he know about all this kind of stuff?
Well, because he's made a very deep study of the occult.
Oh, he's just sort of in charge of tenor just to have a look about.
Oh, is he getting
eyes
by the man's eyes?
They're quite spooky, actually.
There's a lot of googly eyes.
I don't think it's the eyes that are drawing them towards him. Yeah, he knows.
Do you think that guy can do that thing that the other black guy can do would make his eyes pop out?
Oh, they're good. He actually looks a bit like the badger that's the captain of the ship in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Sure he does.
What's he doing?
Worryingly called Mr. Katanga.
Mr. Katanga, yeah. Katanga, my friend.
Oh!
Oh, right, that's clever. That
nice one.
Great. Not a trace.
Do you remember Katanga, my friend, who used to say that?
Then he hit me.
That was Lenny Henry, and he was funny.
Katanga.
What did DCM stand for?
Decondensed milk.
It did, yeah, absolutely. He's funny then.
I was, I for long felt He was talked out of doing Winston Spencer Castlereagh Razzmatazz.
Oh, well done by Don French.
By Don French, who said it was racist.
Yeah,
and I suppose to all intents and purposes it probably is. Except that I reckon it's I could credit it. In fact, I do credit it. Because there's nobody to argue with me. That, that it probably... No, I mean...
That you would listen to it,
That it probably did more for race relations than possibly anything else at the time. Because you just ended up, like me, at the time watching it thinking, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Also,
so that's that then.
Also, you know what, Don? It's a bit racist for you to be telling him what racism is.
Yeah.
It's up to him to work
that
out.
He
gets to make that
you
call.
You don't get to decide that. No more than
black guy.
No more than he gets to tell you what's sexist.
I didn't.
That's how that works.
After many years of him being really boring, I've now grown to rather like Lenny Henry again. In his late middle age, he seems like a decent guy. Yeah, and I like the fact that he went back to university and started to push himself as an actor and all
quite
that.
Happy
it's
to
quite,
stay in,
quite, ad, it's quite admirable.
Quite happy to stay in mid-range hotels, isn't he?
Yes. I bet he's a heavy snorer, though.
I bet he is, yeah.
Big man, big frame.
I never liked Delbert Wilkins, though.
Oh, I liked Delbert Wilkins when I was a kid. But I used to not like the fact that it was called the Lenny Henry Show.
I know, that was annoying.
Because I used to think it would be sketches.
It was the first series, it was sketches.
And then suddenly...
He's responsible for the joke about Rambo looking up in the air going, Vietnam.
Yeah.
Remember? That was him.
And in fact, wasn't Jeannie McKee in that?
She was, yeah.
Yeah, well, who we were talking about before we started recording.
But then it used to... for everybody else in the world, we were talking about... why all of the people in Our Friends in the North have gone on to have massive careers.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had asked the question,
David Bradley.
Yeah, well, he's done very well.
That's the point, isn't it? Pure.
Sorry, I did a wee burp there.
That's those barbecued pop chips.
The devil rides out.
Fuck me. He fucking would if he was in here.
That is a lovely room, though, eh?
Yeah, it's a lovely room. There's a lot of dust in that room.
Anyway.
Everybody done really well, but we mentioned how Gina McKee hasn't done as well as the men.
Done quite as well, yeah.
It's the patriarchy.
Why would that be?
Yeah. I think it probably is.
Yeah.
So
she's very good in The Loop. I should also. I should probably, kind of for the record, just say that I absolutely fucking love Gina McKee. She's long been a source of joy to me. I think she's gorgeous.
This is clever and a
brilliant actor.
Yeah, she is indeed. What I love is when he says, "Can I take a car?" And he says, "I'll take any of them from the garage." I'll just have the wee green Bentley.
Now, since we last recorded something, I'm trying to work out what that would be, if that's the one that we're going to put out later on. Or anyway, irrespective of that, we all went to see Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And
I thought it was magnificent. I absolutely, absolutely loved it. I thought it was probably my favourite film of the year so far. It's beautiful. I was fascinated. It was not too long or too slow for me, and I'm seeing it again 2 years from now. By myself.
Yep,
that amuses me.
Yeah, Mrs. Drake saw it separately and she loved it too.
Did she?
I do. I really enjoyed it, but a long time before I sat through it all again.
8.5 for me.
That's quite good.
Both
of you came out.
Did you just check
colder
that?
Sounding than that about it?
8.5.
No, I'm not an 8.5. I'd say maybe a 7.5.
Really?
Yeah, maybe even a 7.
I'm a 10.
7.5 for me is Rogue One.
I preferred Rogue One.
Right. Yeah, that was last year.
What would you give from Rogue One?
That was last
8.5. So your Rogue One is my Blade Runner 2049.
I could give you a sneak preview of the best films that I think are the top 3 best films of the year for me so far.
Come on, if I've seen them, I'll give you my scores.
Do you want them in order?
Oh, I know what one of them is.
Well, yeah. I'd say number 3 is The Death of Stalin.
Oh, okay.
Which is wonderful. I saw it last week. What's your score?
My number
I don't
one.
Give scores.
No,
I just order them.
We're doing that.
Number 2.
What's number 4?
No, I don't know yet. Number 2 is Get Out. Get Out.
Was that this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's terrific, isn't it?
But for some reason, I thought it was longer ago.
No, it was about April it was out. That's a tremendous film. Yeah.
Nearly November.
And my favourite film of the year so far is Blade Runner 2049.
No, so you've missed one of your favourite films of the year.
Which was?
He's missed one of his favourite films of the year.
Okay, what was it?
Pre-Venge.
Yeah, I love that too. That's a great movie. Yeah.
That's a 9.
Did I see that with you?
You did, on the 19th of April.
My favourite is the year so far has been The Death of Stalin.
Yeah. It's very, very good.
Score?
Score? Oh, yeah. 9.5.
9.5?
Yeah.
Easy. It is. It's magnificent. It's a, have you seen it yet?
It's incredible film.
No, you should go and see it.
I haven't given any film 9.5.
Charles Grey is on Her Mother. Ever.
He is.
On my list.
He has. Have we missed his great line? I won't be back. But something will.
No, that's when he visits the big house later.
That's great. Fuck it. The way he says it is great. Charles Grey always looks to me, especially in his later years when he's in the Sherlock Holmes. We can talk about Sherlock Holmes as well. When he's in the Sherlock Holmes programmes.
I thought you said the Sheltered Holmes. I genuinely did think you said that.
Actually, we should get ready for one of the great men's about to turn up.
Sheltered Holmes.
There he is.
There he is.
Lovely, lovely Paul Eddington.
He looks.
Do you know what he knows about, Jack?
Everything? I don't know. Timing.
Timing.
Sorry.
That's an old
fatty
lorry.
Yeah, but I didn't fail it.
He's great.
I got it.
A Paul Eddington or the Paul Eddington?
It's
a nice tea she's putting out there as well.
Yeah. It does, it lovely, isn't it?
You shouldn't drink all that orange juice though. People drink too much orange juice. It's bad for you. Give you diabetes.
When I was,
you think that might be? No, that's not going to be diluting orange, is it?
When I was,
it might be, but it might be one of the ones that you got out of a
like Rose's
a can.
Cordial or something.
No, ones that you remember used to get them in cans.
When I was a kid,
I forgot all about them.
If we had
it's like when you used to get those tins of concentrate to make wine with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When I was a kid, if we had orange juice, you only ever had about like.
Well, it was a starter in a restaurant. Not that I ever went to, but
it's
I'm
like
told.
A
yeah. Oh no, it was. I went to restaurants where it was a starter.
Yeah,
but you never got
not that
much.
Long ago.
No, because it was meant to just be really like expensive.
Tomato juice is a starter in Vault of Horror, isn't it? It gets offered as.
See, when you first went to university.
What was the menu? In the restaurant at the start, it was
soup roast.
No, but it was soup.
Fruit juice, roast,
and
pudding.
And how would you like your clots?
Yeah. Sounds great.
So let me introduce this, right? When you first left home.
Hello, when you first went home.
Right.
She's Dutch Rex.
What were the things, what were the consumables that you bought that was like, fuck you parents, I'm going to have this now? Because for me, orange juice.
Chocolate clears.
Chocolate clears. Crunchy Nut Cornflakes.
I got my first grant check. Taxpayers.
Yeah.
One of the first things I did was go and buy videos.
Yes.
The first one I bought was the Five Doctors.
It's
I couldn't
good,
buy Star Wars because you had to order it. Because in 1992, nobody gave a fuck about Star Wars.
I did.
It wasn't the thing, though.
Yeah.
You know, that it is now. Mm. Well, I mean, patently, I did. I went and ordered.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It was going through the dip that everyone forgets.
As we always talk about, it was
the same thing that happened thanks to Erasure.
Oh, with ABBA.
With ABBA.
Yeah. Nobody
ABBA.
Gave a fuck about ABBA
until
before
until
I had a chance
ABBA
of me came along.
EP
yeah.
Came
yep,
out,
absolutely.
Great, yeah,
absolutely.
No one gave a fuck about Queen. For quite
nobody
a time
cared
either.
About
nope.
Queen. Well, not only did they not care about them, but for most of the 80s, certainly, they were sort of, it was a bit embarrassing and dad rock to like Queen.
And there'd been the whole thing about Sun City and that.
Anyway, I bought some videos. I bought the first video I bought was Five Doctors. And a Pepe Le Pew compilation.
Right.
Out of Virginia
Mooney Street.
My friend's
cat's named after Pepe Le Pew. There you go.
Sorry, I was transfixed by Mokata. And I went to Marks and Spencer's on Circle Hill Street and bought all the stuff that I'd always wanted out of it.
And so talk
so
us
I bought like a tub of ice cream and I bought
nice. Just
chocolate
vanilla?
Eclairs. No, it had shit in it.
Oh,
and I bought a box of those.
Well.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that I had actually to go to the Mitchell Library.
Right.
So I had to take it and check it. Go in thinking I was only going to be like 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And you can't be in the Mitchell Library for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes you 40 minutes to find where
that's
you're
right.
looking for.
Because
it's full of rooms that are the size of football fields.
Yes.
With like four shelves on them.
Yeah.
And then, so they have to go away and find it and all that. And by the time I came back, I just had a sort of bag of mush. Which I happily,
you had ice cream,
which I happily
just
went home and ate.
Yeah, quite
so,
right.
Watching Pepe Le Pew. Saving the
five
doctors for after.
So Craig, come on. There must have been something where you thought, oh, I'm getting that. I'm buying that.
I think I gave a go at trying to like Marmite.
Really?
Particularly,
I've never tried.
I went to Edinburgh University. There's an awful lot of English folk there who liked Marmite, and it's never really been. I contend it's not really been much of a thing in Scotland. Marmite
it never has been.
And so therefore, like Tizer, people going about Tizer, it was never a big thing in Scotland, really.
Yeah.
So I think I had a go. He's fucked that car now.
But wasn't there
having
where...
some Marmite? No, because I grew up
like your parents
in Edinburgh.
Denied you.
Fucking everything.
No, but you were. You just. It would never occur to you to buy it.
What do you mean?
Well, of all the things, of all the spreadables.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't mean that, but I mean, was
there
other food stuff?
You would never buy Marmite.
No, of course, but was there other foodstuffs that your parents either wouldn't let you have or you can only have like a little bit of?
I don't really feel that. No, I don't know.
Oh, I had a lot of that. Wolf's Vianetta. Although I had a friend.
Crunchy nut cornflakes in the evening.
Because lovely cornflowers. It was beautiful, isn't that? Made was gorgeous.
I had a friend who was like a friend because I met him, I knew him from school, but met him out of context. So it had to be a pal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
actually,
yeah, no,
but
I kind of get, yeah.
Like, in context.
Hey!
Yeah. Hey!
Hey, there's a googly eyes
fucking
again.
Keep off that road, son. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they used to have a Vianetta every lunchtime.
No. He must have. Is he dead now? I presume he was taken by type 2 diabetes.
Pie and beans and a Vianetta.
For lunch?
Every lunchtime.
He is dead, isn't he?
Well, we got into having. After my parents split up.
He was in banking.
There was lots of good things about it, and one of them was. That we started having chuck ice.
No, because once you got to that stage where the first one was the Trend Centre down in Granton, when you got big supermarkets, around about 79-80 opened, because Jim Watt opened it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you used to be able to get those like box of 10 chalk ices, which were actually quite fucking rubbish.
They were. But they were chalk ice.
Exactly.
And you're not in the pictures.
Look how great Charles Grey looks. In my mind, I'm eating that while watching 3-2-1.
That's good.
You know, that would be very, very sensible. That would be very appropriate for that to happen.
Good. I don't think we ever really got chalk ices.
And I used to like buying a chicken and asparagus pie from Tesco.
Well, I'll tell you what I used to like.
Boy, that was good work.
My mate Neil, who runs the Daily Mash, Neil and I were at university together, and he'd kind of fallen out with the university by that stage.
Sorry, Jack, don't trip over that name on your way to the kitchen.
No, it's fine, but it's my oldest mate. So, well, not my oldest, just, actually. Chris is older than that, actually. But anyway, that's the matter. Anyway, point being.
Who's
Chris Rea? No, Chris, Mr. Cheesy Knob.
Who's Chris Cheesy Knob?
I'll show you on my phone. He's actually called Cheesy Mobile on my phone. Is Mr. Cheesy Knob. You've met Chris the Cheesy Knob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him at. Were you there?
Does he?
Did you come to us to see Count Arthur Strong a couple of years ago?
No, I've never seen.
All right, okay. Now, Chris.
I've never tried to
Mr. Cheesy Knob was there afterwards. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, Neil and I, after he'd kind of fallen out with the university and was working in pubs and trying to get into journalism, and he had a flat in Morningside, we had a real thing going for a while. Of eating, you know, those Heinz steam puddings that are in the
tin,
and you stick them in.
Yeah.
There's one thing I still like. I like a hot pudding with
cold custard.
Absolutely.
If you have a hot pudding,
you don't want any
hot
more
custard.
No,
that's
too much hot. Absolutely not. That works.
You wouldn't have hot cream.
And it has to be something like one of those steamed puddings or like a jam roly-poly or a spotted dick or something. If you have a spotted dick, would you have that with hot cream?
With hot cream.
You would have a spotted dick with hot cream.
Hot cream.
How much of that would you take?
Salted caramel.
How much of it would you take?
As much as I could get and fit in.
Yeah. Would you be interested in this salty yogurt to go with it?
No, I'm not into yogurt.
Here he is, look.
That's disgusting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I do know. And also, I bought a load of as well.
I beg your pardon.
No, wait. Ski Gold.
All right,
because it's like yogurt, but it's gold.
Ski yogurt always
ski
held
gold.
Up. Do you still get ski yogurts?
I think you might.
It's all petit fucking falou.
Yeah, ski gold.
My son uses the words petit falou to mean anything in French. We say ah, oui, oui, petit falou.
But, echo,
any, Adonai. Any ski yogurt always struck me as being because I think as really sort of upmarket. Because I think I sort of saw skiing as something that James Bond did.
Yeah.
Davy Bond loved the skiing, and therefore on my mind, ski yogurt was really, really.
But then, well, you think ski gold?
But then, when you saw the advert, when I was a puppy, and you had those adverts for ski, remember, and there were little pots that used to do things and jump about and go swimming and skiing and things.
Yeah.
And I just thought yogurt was ski yogurt.
Yes,
oh,
I didn't think
it was
anything
like Hoover and vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
There were other things.
Yeah,
other yogurts are available, Chris.
Yeah, I was amazed, and then I got hooked on the. The only yogurt that I've ever actively liked, which was lemon curd yogurt.
Oh, right. Yum,
which was lovely.
You make a lovely lemon curd, by the way, and that's not a euphemism. You do.
I do.
I would like some again this Christmas, but not as big a jar, because by the end it actually it went off.
Which is because I had no idea how much I was making when I made it. But
this
apparently
is the
more people than
Mendes,
I thought liked it. Now, that's not the go-to
Mendes. No, but it's building up to the go-to
Mendes. It's fucking coming, though. Oh, that she can't tell fucking New Year from New York. No. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It's quite grim, that, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Charles Craig. So why did they cast Christopher Lee as a goodie in this then?
I don't know the reasons behind it. Maybe he wanted a shot. Maybe he said, "I'll only come back to work for you, Mr. Hines and Mr. Carreras at Hammer,
Sir Alec,
if you were to allow me to play a goodie for a change."
Do you not think, would he have been under contract?
No, I don't think he was. Sort of, I don't think they did that.
No, like five picture deals or something.
No, I think they just kept saying, I think he bored everybody so much that Michael Carreras, just knew if he left it for a bit, he could just phone him and say, "Come on, Chris, turn up, do another show.
Go make a film.
We've got 3 weeks.
The devil, Rolls Royce, and Pies and Lots."
Pepperami.
I've never liked Pepperami.
My son likes Pepperami. I'm not going to.
Nah, it looks suspect.
Yeah. It doesn't do nice like things to your bum either.
No. Doesn't it? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your Pepperami?
I just think afterwards it doesn't settle nicely in your makes you poo bad at. Very well.
It has that actually quite unpleasant sheath.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Which is quite a surprise actually when you, because it's quite hermetically sealed anyway.
It is, yeah.
And then you open it up and you've got to roll back that quite disturbing sheath. It's really not nice. Yeah.
No, it's not right.
And then chew on that. Nah, you're all right.
Got that. Okay.
Frenetic music.
Laughter. Like,
so what do we know about the production
of this
film?
What do we know about the production
of this film?
I don't actually know terribly much about the making of this. I mean, Hammer were an extremely...
This is Doctor Who.
Well, no, but there's not sort of... By the very nature of how they made films, there are actually very few sort of stories of daring do and silliness. Uh-huh. And we almost didn't make it, but we did in the end pull it off with Hammer, because that's not how you made films.
No, that's true.
With these badgers, you know, they weren't like Hollywood productions that go mad. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have schedules, they'd have blocked out sections. Mm-hmm. 3 months to make that, you know, 6 weeks to film in the edit, then, and you just had to do it. I mean, Terry Fisher would have been on to another film, you know, within three weeks of finishing production on this, once he'd locked his edit.
Because you actually have to look into the context of when this country actually had a proper film industry. Because you couldn't have fucked out, but like, as you finished, guys, could fucking Charlie Drake send and make the film with the work on the border?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Lee would be on to another film straight away.
Yeah,
so actually, in some ways, the stories of how they were made.
Patrick Moore.
I've read many books. Exactly. I've read books, many books.
You'll never
on
get that out of him.
Hammer, but, and they're fascinating for other reasons, but they're not. There's not really ever a sort of, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know of any stories of, you know, the troubled production. You weren't allowed to have a troubled production.
No, troubled production is a shit film.
Yeah, it's a sort of shit Francis Coppola fucking got involved in. These guys were professionals. Turn up, do the job, go home.
What's the best?
Yeah, absolutely.
Terry Fisher, and probably in a nice blue jumper with a cravat underneath and with a yellow HB pencil marking up
and
the
then
script.
It's back to the Athenaeum and hating James.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is what's the best book on Hammer films then? And you must answer.
How I did it. By Lord Hammer.
The Marcus Hearn ones are very good.
Hammer Time. Sorry, what was it called?
Marcus Hearn books, very good. I can't remember what it's called.
Uh-huh.
I've got so many of them.
But is that who's done the commentary on this?
I think so. He's one of the commentary tracks, yeah.
The one that actually talks about the film.
The book I like most about them all
just
is...
about Pepperoni Cheese.
He's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Oh, it's Jonathan Mendes!
There he is, it's a go to Mendes.
It's a go to John Mendes.
Jonathan Rigby's book.
Right, Stationary and a Star Wars toy.
Yeah, he's also an actor.
Okay.
We're going to see him tomorrow in the Bawley Rectory film that we're seeing tomorrow in Edinburgh.
That, is he? Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
Doesn't that fuck up our continuity?
No, because we don't know when we record the other one.
That tense.
Yeah, we're good.
I've
all
got
right.
The tenses wrong.
That fucks up our continuity. Anyway, so why do you like that book?
He's written a number of books, American Gothic, Euro Gothic, and English Gothic. He's just a good critic of the films, and he knows.
What do you think the audition for that guy was like?
Selling
the gun man.
You need to sit cross-legged and turn from one side to the other like Satan. And here's a goat's head.
Yeah.
6 years in Rada.
Yeah.
2 years carrying spears in the RSC.
Tell you what though, it's fucking work.
Yeah, that's true.
£2.10 a tit and a fiver
for his ass.
Of course, the best audition tape ever is the man who was applying for the position of village idiot in Old Springfield Town. When he said, what are your qualifications? He said, I played panicky idiot number two in Poseidon Adventure. Which is one of the greatest lines ever written. And the woman says, oh, sorry, but we're really looking for more like a duh, duh idiot. And he says, but I... Oh, well.
Another good one like that. Everybody was Kung Fu fighting.
It's such a great line.
Another great... Oh, there's a Ghotamendi's fuck.
Yeah, that's your fuck. How you got
it always surprises me when I watch this how early in the film the Ghotamendi's turns up.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good fighting, isn't it?
It doesn't seem that difficult.
It was after seeing this that Sir Run Shaw said, get up over here!
why are they just trying to save that one guy, Simon?
Because he's his mate. I would do that for you.
Yeah, but he's not trying to save anybody
I'd
else.
I'd fight the
he?
Goat of... Why does he give a fuck about that?
You'd fight the goat of Mindy's for me.
Yeah, I would.
I'd be getting all the rest and back to his.
Oh, look,
I love the way they're just all running backwards. Oh, for fuck's sake.
See, her life's at peril as well.
Is that the
lady? There's bad stuff burning there. The black candles. Black Park, there you go.
So mm-hmm. How did this film do then?
Just off the M40. Oh, they all made money. They had a great deal with it. I mean, nobody made money making them. But Hammer always made money until the very end.
You mean the actors?
Yeah.
Well,
it's all flat rates.
Again, you have to look at it in context because you're making this film. You're probably...
That was the point, yeah.
They'd be making five or six films a year.
Yeah, making a very nice living in Chelsea.
Yeah. And you've got like... it's like Kenneth Robbins used to say, you know, like... He made one or two carry-on films a year. And as long as he was doing that, he was getting whatever it was, 20 grand each. Not a massive amount of money, but...
I think it was even less than that, wasn't it? Because
it was like 10 grand.
Yeah, because he talks about that never having gone up for years in his diaries. But yeah, it kept them all in work. Kept the studio. That meant the studio could afford in those days to keep on an entire art department, production department.
Yeah.
They'd all have their own chippies and all that. You know, it was great. I mean, actual chip shops.
Yeah.
Miss Valentin again.
Yeah, well, they've come to his house.
Comments on his dressing gown, is that?
Beautiful.
Would you aspire to that?
Beautiful dressing gown.
Does it have proper tassel-y thing there?
Uncomfortable for you, because I'm sure at some point...
Maybe we should pick this up again in the future.
Yeah, let's keep that for another time.
Yeah, we'll talk about tassel-y.
That's quite a nice looking dressing gown.
That's very difficult.
Yeah.
Don't worry. By the time we got onto the third film, nobody will know. Nobody will know.
It's fucked up that suit, isn't it?
Certainly has.
Joe Public won't clock it in.
As Marion Clune says, we professionals might notice Joe Public never clocks a damn thing.
Damn thing.
People don't realise how influential Marion Clune is.
That is a lovely...
it's a brocade. A brocade dressing gown.
It is indeed a brocade dressing gown. And I've just put in my Christmas present request for a dressing gown.
Have you?
It's very day.
You know. So,
have you gone for... I think in the future we might talk about this, but I always recommend... going for a much bigger size than yourself because a dressing gown always benefits from being too big.
Oh yeah, but I'm more interested in the cord.
Yeah,
but as you say, we'll pick that up later.
Can I suggest we make no reference to this conversation? Yeah.
I was about to suggest that. Yeah. When we pick it up again. Yeah.
Let's not refer back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's keep it fresh and keep it moving.
We've got a long, long history of never doing callbacks.
Let's not kick the ass out of it. Move on.
He's a wee bit... Am I allowed to say this word anymore? Rapey.
Oh, right. I'm wondering
the way he looks at it is a wee bit.
He's just in love.
I could eat you up.
That rather leads us on to talking about the Weinstein Virago. Virago? Fandango?
Well, I think we have to.
We talk
we start,
about
though,
films.
I think before we start, though, we have to, for legal reasons, echo what Amanda Anucci said on telly last week, which was. He is innocent until proven very, very guilty. So
you know what always constantly amazes me? I mean, just as somebody who works in a hospital and has no real direct connection with this. So, the way that in America, even when somebody's charged, you can say anything you fucking like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can accuse them of anything and say anything. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. It's the way it should be.
But it does raise an interesting question based on what you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a defence of Harvey Weinstein.
No.
Or Bob.
No.
Who
is probably
mildly rapey, as we know at the moment.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about here?
The Weinsteins.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's an interesting dichotomy of modern life.
Okay. Let's break this down.
So, let's say you are some kind of film person, an editor, a director, a producer.
Mm-hmm.
You're single.
Yeah.
And you go along and you meet somebody, you're out in the film business, and you meet somebody who's patently fucking gorgeous, male or female. when does it cross from, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to have a crack at it,
right,
into something else? Is it when you have some bearing on their career? So therefore, it's like, if you want this job, you've got to do this. Clearly wrong.
Well, that's certainly you have crossed the line at that point.
Yeah, well, precisely.
Whether that's where the line is, it's maybe a bit.
But then,
than
but
that,
say, what if you're a 50-year-old producer and you meet a 30-year-old star,
right,
starlet, and you say, "Fuck it, I'm just going to say, do you want to come out for dinner? Do you want a drink? You're gorgeous," which is the sort of thing that any person might say about anybody.
Right.
Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems to happen all the time in that business. But the trouble being, you know, I think other I mean, this thing happens across the world in different industries, of course, but quite often in what you'd probably would call proper organisations or proper companies, they would probably come down quite hard on much older men in positions of influence, getting offered much younger women, particularly in the workplace. But actually, in the Hollywood thing, it's a wee bit... seems to be just sort of...
It's the position of influence thing that matters. Anyway, I can't let this pass without commenting on something that I comment to myself every time I watch this film, which is, what is that fucking sofa? What is that suite doing in that room?
That's it, then.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's a nice suite.
It's brocade. It matches his... What do you call it? His dressing gown.
Oh. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Never even occurred to me.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you feel about the fact that he has been referred to as a big fat man in some of the...
Yeah, I was commenting on this before tonight. That,
oh, Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
I've seen lots of people, women commenting, and I've actually been really quite upset and moved by a lot of the Me Too stuff and all that. I think it's actually been an extraordinary sort of last couple of weeks. But it amazes me the amount of women that are always going to be, oh, he's disgusting big fat man. His obesity has nothing to do with it. You know?
Yeah, it's, well, it's, no, whether he's disgusting, really strange. It's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It almost suggests that the logic would,
if it was Piers Brosnan,
where he'd say he was a disgusting, attractive man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But it goes into that thing about sort of characterising evildoers as being ugly on the outside.
They're funny walls, aren't they, for that house?
I would say it's a rough cast plaster with a kind of lime effect over it.
Well, why is that? Why is that wall undressed?
Because I think they've gone for an artisanal look.
But no other part of their house is everywhere else is decorated.
Yeah, it was just built.
Artisans.
So that was a sort of pickup.
I was worried.
By the way, have you ever noticed that, you know, the canteen in the hospital, they have all these trays out of lovely croissants and Danish pastries and things?
Now, they all come from Costco.
Aye, have you ever seen it? You go in at a certain time in the morning.
Do they?
They've got all these packets that they're opening up and putting
them out. Yeah. I spotted it. In fact, when
we like Costco.
Lovely woman who used to do all the baking there left,
right,
or was sacked or retired, or fuck knows what happened to her. Unfortunately, she's just not there anymore. They all got put out, and the first thing I said to the person behind the counter was, "Oh, look, Costco's finest."
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, this is the scene.
Here we go. Okay. Mokata. Great name. He's like a big... He's like Shere Khan, basically, isn't he, Charles Grey?
Yeah. I suppose at the time he would have been like a sort of Poundland George Sanders.
Yeah, very much so. But I was saying about it, Sherlock.
That's sweet all about.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably of that period.
It is a bit
in that room.
Yeah. I quite like it, actually.
Well, don't get me wrong, I don't dislike it, but it seems so weird.
Can you imagine sitting over an evening with that fire on the go?
Oh, it'd be great.
Big fuck off telly opposite you watching The Devil Rides Out.
Absolutely. Oh, look, there's somebody's case just nonchalantly left in the corner. I've never noticed that before.
That's because it's Blu-ray. Look at the fucking pinking on that sofa. You can see it.
It's good piping on that.
You can see the crease that his foreskin makes in his suit. That's how amazing it is. Anyway,
little Charles there.
I keep trying to bring him up when he was in Charles. Sherlock Holmes, when he was an enormous size by that stage.
Oh, when he was Mycroft.
So which Sherlock Holmes is
he? He plays Mycroft in the Granada
in the
ones.
Brett is
ones.
He? Yeah. He's in, I think the first one he's in is the Greek Interpreter.
Yeah.
But then by the time it gets to, I think, is it the casebook of Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
Jeremy Brett was so ill.
Uh-huh.
He basically would have maybe one scene or two scenes at the start, one at the start, one at the end, where he had to sit because he was so ill. And they handed all of the action basically to Mycroft.
Wow.
which is bizarre when you think he was the fit. He was about 25 stone.
A big man.
He certainly was.
But he had that sort of look about that he's maybe been a bit dissolute in his time.
Yes, yes.
He's done a few dirty things.
He looks like the local squire.
Dirty Charles Grey. A great act, though. A genuinely great act.
Oh, yeah,
and I always thought him, he was always a bit like Anton Differing as well. They were kind of interchangeable in my mind.
And what do we know about Paul Eddington's career before Sitcomland then?
Before Sitcomland?
Why did he turn up in this?
He was mostly a theatre actor.
Yeah, he was a theatre, very well respected theatre actor.
He's not in an awful lot before The Good Life. I mean,
he was in a famous episode of Dixon and Doc Green.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the famous and phrase defining bad apple in the barrel.
Because
he was a crooked constable.
Yeah.
By the way, he was a crooked cop. He wasn't like a crooked copper like, you know, Inspector Chalcott. He was like he was basically just, you know, nicked somebody's bike or something.
Yeah.
And then he had Jack Warner to come on at the end as 105 and go, run bad apple in the bad doesn't run the run bad like sleep well. Even it out with him.
Do you remember that night in with Frost and Peg when they suggested that by the end of it he was saying evening fuck nuggets? That was quite a good programme that night in with Frost.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't
Peg.
Yeah.
You know, I think Jack Warren was about 82 or something when they finished Dixon and Doc Green.
Because of course famously he's actually killed in the film.
Yeah, he is.
By Duck Bogart.
By a young Duck Bogart. In the showers. What was he doing there?
Shot in the face by Duck Bogart.
In the showers.
Not the last. Her eyes are going a bit weird now.
There are a lot of googly eyes in this.
You mean like this, Chris? Of course, some other great googly-eyed acting is Mel Brooks in Blazing Saddles. And he's trying to play ping-pong with a bat. work. Hello, boys, I've missed you.
Yes, I've got the warped one. Why do you always get the warped one? These not have... Yeah, broken, obviously. Oh, dear.
This is a nice scene, isn't
googly
it?
Googly eyes is just one of those immensely infantile things that make me laugh.
Yeah,
why,
I know what you mean.
Why does he want Simon?
Because he has pledged his soul to the devil. Because
he's going to be rebaptized as a
Satanist
worshipper, and then he'll be lost to them all, and they're trying to prevent that.
At which point, really, you should kick in with Ace of Spades by Motorhead. Ding 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 ding. Look up. Got any makeup on?
So he's come for this lass as well, who's called Tanith. And there's a lovely bit of wordplay when they realise, no, that's her actual name, because they think she's been rechristened or re-satanically baptised as Tanith. Right. But actually, no, that was her name, because her mother was mental.
Right.
Come creeping out the room, sweetheart. Meanwhile, Rex has fallen for her.
Yeah. But he was also trying to sort of get off with the red-haired woman.
Ta-da-da! Oh, she's getting nice.
What, the googly-eyed woman?
Aye. He was, remember, he was giving her, well, what about your uncle?
Oh, yes, of course.
It's a tall boy.
That's very old school perspiration.
I mean, she's a tall boy.
Isn't it on Patrick Moore?
Not taller than anybody else.
You don't get perspiration like that anymore.
That's lovely country squire clothing that Paul Eddington's wearing. Yeah. Very in keeping with his rough cast, lime washed walls, I would say.
Yes. Yeah, I just find it's
consistent. Oh, yeah, I've got you.
But I can never understand. Come back to Dennis Weaver again.
Good dressing gown, kid.
Yeah. See, that's just... I'm just not dressing him like that. Not with a hood, though. Anyway, we'll get to that.
So, he needed to use her to get... to control them?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Explain that, Craig. Explain that.
No. What is that? Her there?
Yeah.
Well, because he wants her to hand them over.
Okay. Why does he want her to hand them over?
What?
Why can't he just go and get them?
Well, you can't just,
walk into somebody's house and push them away and take them.
I cannot be back. But something
will.
A wonderful, wonderful line.
Wow.
Bye then. I do like the fact that he's come to return, he's ostensibly to return the car. Where does he go?
Yeah.
he just drives off.
Yeah. Well, it's only a couple of hundred yards to the...
The demon encampment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the pub down at the bottom of there.
Yeah, the pub at Borehamwood.
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I spent 2 weeks at Elstree in Bournemouth. Did we talk about this?
Did you?
Yeah.
What were you doing there? Was that when you were part of Lorry?
I was on a hospital registry course. It was.
It was a course
in hospital registration.
X-ray.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It was good. And they have the George Lucas soundstage is still there, but mm-hmm. the place beside it where they filmed Raiders of the Lost Ark and whatnot burnt down, and The Shining that burnt down. And that's now a Tesco.
Ah, yes.
Tesco, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I think we talked about that.
Yeah, I think we have talked about
that. In our very first commentary, which was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
It was.
Was it really?
Well, we actually recorded it 2.5 years ago.
Did we?
Because we recorded it in April.
Yeah. We waited quite a while.
Wow.
And it was September it came out.
Incidentally,
it was going through post-production.
We should give you a little trailer of things to come, beloved listeners. We will be at some stage quite soon. And now that Martin has come out of the grave, we will be doing Alien Covenant at some stage.
Will we?
Oh. Yeah. And seeing if there's any hidden...
Oh, I see, because he did
hidden faces the size of mountains in it for Martin to miss.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? There's no mountains there. I'm looking like faces. Oh, there it is.
I've never noticed that before.
When we went to see it, that was funny, wasn't it? When he said, oh, let's go and see it. It's 8:45. Why is it not started? Remember, he got the title wrong for his joke. Oh dear!
Bless.
It was fucking rubbish.
What else have we got coming up? I think we should do another film for Halloween.
I think we'll do a couple more.
One of them could be.
Last year we did Season of the Witch.
We did.
Oh, that's really annoying.
Why?
Because we were going to do a secret trope where we would do Season of the Witch every Halloween and never talk about it. I'm fucking blown that.
That's Mark Miller's fault.
Well,
that was the last thing. Mark did the one with us. Come back, Mark.
Was it?
Come back.
Yeah, come on back. There's things that we need to talk to you
about. Yeah, we want to talk to you about your sequel to Kingsman.
Yeah, that didn't get on very well, did it?
No.
Fucking nonsense.
I think it made him a lot of money, but... But it wasn't a good film, Mark, I have to be honest with you. Mark, why don't you come and join us again and we'll do a commentary on Kingsman.
There was quite a funny tweet there, wasn't there?
Kingsman
what
2.
Was that? What was that?
He tweeted about
Blade Runner, wasn't it?
Blade Runner not doing well and how sad that was. And someone tweeted him back and said, yeah, your new film's shit, but it's made lots of money. And to be fair, Mark retweeted it and said, good joke. Yeah, we can talk.
From a location in the bank.
We could ask you to defend the aggressive fingering of a girl joke.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, it's really fucking horrible. Really, it's like this, Jack.
Oh
no,
man.
It actually is.
It is.
Really?
It genuinely
this
is.
This actually
is
happens
this
in the film. No, that's worse than that. He has to. Yeah, it's fucking horrible. Yeah.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not.
No, and then there's what's meant to be an internal shot.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
No, it's really dreadful.
There's an internal vagina shot.
And actually, handled only slightly differently, it could have been a funny sort of carry on, you know, and a fucking flag goes up or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he comes out,
let's
like
never
Sid,
talk about this.
And goes, and just walks off.
Yeah.
But no, it actually is. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in a cinema.
Me, Chris, and Alan,
and I've seen Prometheus,
and we all looked at each other and went,
"Yeah, no,
what?
Actually, absolutely." The two poofs sat and turned to him and went. That's not what you're
supposed to say. And I just sat and thought,
I am so out of that.
And I said, me too, I've been married a long time, guys. Look at that, that's a lovely hallway. Look at that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
See,
nobody noticed the fuck off poinsettia in the front of the show.
Oh, I like a poinsettia. Part of my love,
you
know, I think.
Poinsettia, stop!
Of a lot of these old films.
Poinsettia.
It's time.
One Christmas,
yeah.
You don't get enough straw in films.
One of
days.
My love of all these old films is the houses in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd
definitely.
Also commend you Peter Cushing's house in The Creeping Flesh.
Oh, you love that. You've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, she's very sweaty, that lassie.
If we're talking about Peter Cushing's houses, we should do Tales from the Crypt at some point.
Nah, I can't be bothered.
Nah, maybe we will.
Nah,
but you're right though, Jack. There used to be a lot more straw and a lot more films.
I've seen
straw based actions.
I wonder if that's affected the straw business.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to
climate
the
change?
What's going to happen to the rest of the straw business when David Copperfield retires?
That's true.
Well, there is also that, but there's also the fact of climate change, wetter summers and whatnot. Maybe, maybe there isn't.
Although they still have fucking roasting summers in the south of England.
Yeah, but straw was definitely a bit of a trope, wasn't it?
But there's something you have
to. Really was.
There's something that you're not bearing in mind here about the south of England. No. They're all cunts. So it doesn't really matter whether they have roasting summers or not.
Oh, so that he's doing a circle here to protect.
Yeah, this is so. This is don't look for God's sake. Don't leave the circle.
Just that's a pure Jim Hacker.
Well,
you do a circle big enough to have a toilet in it.
You should just draw a circle that's just about the size of the whole room, or just draw it round
the
house.
Yeah.
Well, like with one of those things they do football lines.
Yeah,
with.
Why not?
Can you at the very least do it around a sofa?
Because I mean that's not very well planned, is it? Like you need a jobby or something.
I mean, look at the sofa, one pillow in the middle.
To be honest, Jack. There's nothing stopping you do a job in there, but there is something stopping you having a comfy sit down.
Yeah. And you just think, is the Duke just going to sit on the pillow and say, well, I'm the Duke.
I'm a fucking
Duke.
Go
fuck yourselves.
I am the Duke.
Now, what's going on here? Why is she all tied up?
He dresses.
Because he's a dirty
room.
Bastard. He certainly does, doesn't he? Good Lord.
She just noticed as well. Yeah. I hope he's noticed. She's noticed. And where we go?
She wakes up and says, get off my horse.
It's a lot of...
A lot of glistening.
A lot of glistening, isn't
there?
Yeah,
there's a lot of not many subtitles, I notice. That's good visual storytelling.
It is.
That's quite retro, that shot there.
It's not much of an actor.
How can it be retro, Jack?
That looks kind of like 1920s.
1930s. Oh, I see what you mean.
It's going for a sort of... kind of
Jack, you've completely
gothic horror look.
Absent-mindedly stumbled across quite a good cinematic point with
that. That's three times I've done that in 2 years.
The film is a throwback to that kind of feel. It's got that kind of
she's very much
never
like that,
kind of
before, isn't she?
It's in some ways it's more like a universal.
You know what's really annoying me just now?
A bit chafy?
No. I thought the other night of a really cracking film fact that occurred to me. And now I can't remember.
Oh, that's a shame.
That will come to me.
We've gone through my favourite facts, haven't we? The Cleopatra one.
Coming at you.
You know what I noticed the other night?
What was that?
I was sitting watching the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Not the
brilliant
1998
film.
I really liked that film.
I quite liked it as
I
well.
I think it's a great film.
Well, the show
I wouldn't go that
one.
Far.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's not
brilliant.
It's not great, but I saw the cinema quite enjoyed it.
I can understand, because I hadn't seen any press about it.
The big teddy bears
except that it was
funny.
Coming on.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't seen any reviews or anything.
Yeah.
And I went to show it and thought, I'll do well.
Yeah.
And I came because I thought it was. I thought
it's funny, wasn't it?
But that's what an Avengers film would be.
Absolutely.
I thought that as well.
That's what always struck me about it.
It's batshit insane. That's what it would be.
Yes.
And you're right, the teddy bears are funny, but especially the one that has the reaction shot.
Yes, that's
it.
It looks up and sees him
and goes, it does a sort of double take pigeon. And also, Connery's funny in it.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah.
So and the casting's very good.
So I watched it and thought, well, that if you're going to make a film of the Avengers, that's pretty much what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then when it all gets slayed, I thought, I don't really understand that. It's a bit like...
That's funny. I've known you guys for quite a long time. Well, relatively a long time now. And none of us has ever talked about this before, that you're probably the only two other people that I know that like the Avengers film.
We probably saw it at the same time.
The late John liked it as well.
Yeah,
you couldn't understand why anybody hated it.
And when it came on the telly, and it was a Channel 4 sort of thing, like, the Avengers, but it was even trailed as, here's this disastrous film.
Yeah, that's right.
As if
it was
a virtue to say that it's that bad.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't have...
We should do a commentary on that.
I thought, I can't have seen that properly. Maybe I was drunk or something, which was possible at the time. And I thought, and then I watched it on the telly and thought, no, it's just the same.
It's a good wee film.
I have to say, and I may be alone in this, I also don't understand quite the vitriol about The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I
don't know anything about the comic books.
Yeah.
But as a daft adventure film, I thought it was quite fun.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. The comic books are really, really brilliant, but they work as comic books, and I'm not really a huge comic book fan, because they are...
You're not a real comic book fan.
No, absolutely. They are about literature, and they've got literary jokes in them and whatnot, so that's why I know Alan Moore says the reason my books work is because they are written wholly as comic books, because nothing's ever really adapted
fair,
as from
well.
As well,
fair dues.
And he's not too much of a cock about it. He just says, I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want the money. Don't put my name in it. That's fine.
Yeah, because it should be like
so,
Orson Welles says.
These things go.
Nobody's
got
a duty for reverence to the source material. It's a film. It's not a comic book. It'd be different if somebody brought it and rewrote it, pulped the old ones.
I've never understood the hatred of Independence Day.
Oh, I love Independence Day.
Yeah, it's great fun.
Is that an independent film, is it?
Yeah.
Where it's a wildly derided film.
Is that because of the whole kind of, the world is just America?
I'll tell you what the Independence Day is.
Let's do it.
Fact. Go. It is the last proper American film.
Boom.
Ah, that's probably true. Yeah.
What do you think of that, Craig?
Yeah.
Last film.
You're just accepting that.
I just said that's probably true.
You're just accepting that.
Yeah. It's the last film I would contend, last major film, that I would contend is made in the proper tradition of what was American cinema, from that sort of John Ford, Frank Capra, even Kazan, all of those kind of directors, where the point was you can have all the technical know-how, you can have all the, you know, all the money and the influence in the world, but it's the little guy that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And that's what American cinema was for 50, 60 years, longer.
Yeah.
And now, it's not that. You have to be the superhero, the rich guy. I mean, that fucking terrible trailer for Justice League, which will be justly derided, where it says, you know, when he turns to somebody in that fucking visual miasma, turns to Batfleck, and says, what's your superpower? And he says, I'm rich.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
John Ford would have actually shot somebody on a set for saying that.
Yep.
Well, no, but now says it's not a superpower. No. So the point being that in Independence Day, it's okay. One way or the other, what matters is Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Who's a little guy who sacrifices himself and saves the world. And
spoiler.
Yeah. I know it's fine, Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith.
Sure,
it's all good and all that. But he's what matters.
Yeah.
And his line as he flies in is utterly immense.
It's,
what's his line?
Hey, boys.
And it's because he's alleged all the way through it. He's said all the way through it, and he's crazy and all that. He was abducted by aliens and the fucking probe disaster.
Yeah.
All that. And as he's flying out, he shouts, hello, boys, I'm back! And blows, you know, there's the blowback explosion and all that.
Now you,
the last proper.
Oh, here we go. Film. Here it comes. Now. This Blu-ray...
Is this Jake Gyllenhaal film now?
No, that looks good, by the way. No, this is controversial.
Wow.
Because they've made the special effects better.
Is it annoying?
They were famously terrible.
Right, okay.
Dreadful optical effects.
Have they?
And on this one, not that bit there, but the actual sort of big one walking about.
The composition.
Oh.
They have actually
that's a shame.
Improved it for the Blu-ray. And you can't see the reflection in the glass anymore.
Oh,
and
that's
like
interesting.
That. And normally that would... That was derided by people, but it was so bad before that.
Oh,
I don't actually mind it.
Wow.
Maybe I've never seen the version. I must have.
No, you have, because it was done just for this.
But I would have done, it would have been grainy and things like that. I wouldn't have noticed.
You never actually said what your fact was, because you said you're watching the Avengers.
Oh, yes. So I was watching the Avengers.
Uh-huh. As
you
in
know
the
how
superhero Avengers.
The superhero version, which is a fun film, I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, it's okay.
And there's the little trailer. You know, there's a little bit right at the very end, and it's really I hadn't actually figured on how cute this was.
Uh-huh.
So when Iron Man, they save the day and all that, and then Iron Man has that funny line where he says, you know, hey, we won. Anybody like shawarma?
Mm-hmm.
And we go for shawarma. I don't know what it is, but there's a place a few blocks from here. And then at the very end, you see them eating shawarma.
Yeah.
Well, as I watched it last night, I noticed about 10 minutes before, in a scene where he crashes to the ground and shoots things and flies away, is outside the shawarma
shop. Oh, really? Right, yeah.
So that's where he saw it. And I thought, actually...
That's quite cute.
I can genuinely respect that.
They probably did fuck up a tarantula for this. 1960s, dear boy. Just pour some acid on it.
Oh, fuck them. They're only bees.
There's about...
Why are they...
There's another 25 million of them in Brazil. Yeah,
fuck them. They're only bees.
It's a terrible place full of fuzzy wuzzies.
Patrick Moore's hair's getting a bit dishevelled.
It's getting a bit 60s as well.
Is that nose slightly frightening?
Yeah, that is.
It is a frightening nose.
It looks a bit like Jack
Wilde.
What's
that bit on
the
side? What's that bit on the side of it?
He's got a frightening nose.
Don't leave the circle!
Why is he walking out in a circle?
I'm just going to chalk another...
Luckily, I've
painted. I'm going to chalk a number of small circles to the toilet.
I really need...
It's fine.
A piss!
It could just be like the Steptoe's son where they separate the room. I've painted my chalk circle around the swimming pool.
Evil. Oh,
that's a terrible
patch
by Paul Ellington.
It's a question of timing.
Question of timing.
Timing.
Was Kenneth Williams and Christopher Lee ever in the same film?
Was Christopher... That's terrible English.
Kenneth Williams.
Were
Kenneth Williams and Christopher Lee ever in the same film? No, I don't.
No. Why'd you ask?
So.
I don't know, because he talked about Kenneth Williams earlier on.
Although Kenneth Williams was meant to be in Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Was he?
No.
Lee Williams.
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
Together.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Kenneth Williams had played Clamp? Oh, it's all happening at the top floor.
I did that impression the day for a young girl who was delivering coffee tokens
in
the hospital. She's only about 18, isn't she? She's really nice lassie, but
she probably thought that was maybe your son.
Yeah, possibly. He speaks like that.
Oh, Peter!
Peter, so I've been doing Latin prep.
We stop doing those commentaries.
Oh, here he comes!
Oh, here he comes!
I know a woman called Winnie. I did. Horse Winnie's. She wasn't called Horse Winnie, she was called Winnie. Nice Winnie. Lived across the road from us. Winnie Stewart. Lovely
now,
girl.
I have to say, it's not the best face in the world when it happens.
What is not?
Well, you see.
I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah. Imagine. We may have to take a photograph of that for this song.
Who's on the horse?
Well, the angel of death.
The devil is riding out, isn't he?
The devil's riding out.
Yeah.
Okay. He's riding up rather now.
Well, you know, well, he's out the house.
Not really. Okay, all right.
Trying to get him out the circle, you see. But can he get in the circle? Okay. Because Chalk is the natural enemy of the devil. That's why they never attack skills.
A wee bit of running the tape backwards and forwards there.
Oh, yeah, that's not great.
I like that.
I think it should be a bit more gruesome than that. It's just as well everybody hangs around until he finishes saying all that. Hog got stabbed.
Jai Guru Deva.
Oh, she's had a rough time in this.
If that was Mockingbird, why should start playing the xylophone on them?
Or actually,
God, he
walk
glad,
in the door and split, and the smoke would come out the chimney or something.
So have they won yet?
I found on YouTube's the other day.
Yeah.
First of all, the continuity and news report of Eric Morecambe's death.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the newsreader was somebody I had literally never heard of.
Right.
9 o'clock news. Uh-huh. No idea who she was. Never
really?
Heard of her since before or since.
And is that even?
No, I mean genuinely nobody had ever heard of. Okay. Well, just some blonde lassie.
Well, look at it between them and see if between films and see if we can work out who it is.
The next one's not going up for this one, is it?
No, it's fine.
Okay. And
I like fog like that as well.
Yeah, but there was also elsewhere I think it was his last interview on Pebble Mill.
Pebble Mill.
Well, look, that looks very like Doctor Who.
Where he was plugging his book, Mr. Lonely.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It was Bob Langley, was it?
It was Bob Langley, and it was, would always be the case with Bob Langley, it was a genuinely great interview.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Except
he is a great
Bob
guy, Bob Langley.
Completely said, well, I'm not spoiling anything, but he dies in the end.
Oh,
and then he just went, hey!
Is Bob Langley
still alive?
Yeah.
Still with us.
For now.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
Who did you kill?
I hope no. I don't know.
That's where you do realise that's where the angel of death's gone now.
Right, yeah.
Fucking round Bob.
Are we allowed to kill anybody?
In the past, we have had Paul Daniels and Roger Moore.
Oh, no, more than that.
We've had at least one more.
Oh,
I think the one that we do next, we better not talk about anyone that's in the film in case they die.
Yeah,
yes.
But we've also done.
What's his name? Grouty. We killed
Peter
him.
Vaughan.
We did Peter Vaughan. But we've done more than that.
Yeah.
It's terrible. We keep on dispatching the Angel of Death.
I think
and once he runs out, he can't come back.
I think most of the cast of Nutty Hijack are still alive.
I quoted
a joke from
Nutty Hijack today.
Did you?
Yeah.
We'll need to watch that again.
Yeah, it's good.
Watch it at Christmas, won't
we? Yeah.
My friend
Dan, you'll
meet tomorrow, has a great posted up on Facebook recently, the epic titles to Charles Endell Esquire.
Oh yeah, oh, that's
fantastic.
I had told that there was a sequel to Nutty Hijack made in Australia.
No.
In the early to mid 80s.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. We must hunt that down.
Yeah.
But Nutty Hijack was
84.
84, wasn't
it? Yeah, so it must be later than that.
Well, no, Nutty Hijack is 1980.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'll need to.
Oh, God.
Well, we definitely need to.
So it's like some Australian thing.
You don't think it's like. They weren't trying to sort of. capitalise on Crocodile Dundee or something.
I'll tell you what's handy is I just, mate Alan has given me a video to DVD recorder that he got given from his mother, the late Miss Mary. And so I'll need to get that VHS of Nutty Hijack put onto disc so that it doesn't deteriorate any further.
Yeah, because it might be the only one, as we know.
Well, it seems to be.
Do.
What were we saying there?
Don't know. Charles Angle Esquire, Tony was
like, we're talking about people who Craig's may die.
Yeah, the people you've killed.
Well, hopefully nobody, they've all pretty much dead from this. Is Patrick Moore still alive?
Patrick Moore is still alive.
I think he's still alive, yeah. There you go, that's one.
Oh. Patrick Moore, I always think, will be wearing a sort of leather blouse on and driving a sort of open-top car.
He hasn't been, I haven't seen him around on it.
He was in Emmerdale for years.
He was in Emmerdale for a long time.
He was, yeah.
Target. He was quite a tough guy back then. You're right.
He was.
That was his kind
England's
of reputation. We got on the Twitters, which I don't really do much these days. I have to say, I was not a huge tweeter, but I do even less now. So if I ever look like I'm ignoring anyone, please don't take anything from it. I just kind of had a couple of bad experiences.
Did you?
However. Oh, sorry, you want me to stop?
No, I was just going
to... I was going to say...
It's Osiris Risen.
Hiya. I fucking forgot what I was going to say. Now, what was it?
Was there something on Twitter? Yeah. Something to do with Twitter.
No,
Someone on Twitter's been saying something to you.
Oh, yes, somebody tweeted us to say they would like us to do Juggernaut.
Oh, yeah.
I've got that on DVD, but it's called Terror on the Britannic. But,
because... That's a great film.
There's things to be said about that film. I think it's a great State of the Nation film. Yeah. It's basically the great lost Lindsay Anderson film.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long, long held totem of Cream Guide films and Juggernaut.
I remember seeing it on telly.
Yeah.
Early 80s, and then not seeing it for a long time after.
See, when we do a future podcast, I think we should do a shout out to someone who tweeted longer ago than that. Don't you think?
Who would that be?
I don't know.
We'll find
maybe if we can think back to someone who's maybe listened to all the podcasts.
Sorry, back to the actual plot. He has used various mucky devices to
like the one in Zodiac, the one under the bed.
Tanith, the lassie, is dead.
Oh, right. When did that happen?
Yeah. She's dead. Okay. Well, the Angel of Death had to take something.
So it was Tanith.
She's had it.
Tanith's dead now,
The Duke de Richelieu, has now brought Tanith back through the medium of her.
Oh, okay.
But she's not being very helpful.
Right.
The wing serpent.
Because she can't just say, it's a wing serpent on a gate.
Yeah.
Because you would notice that.
On a gate?
Yeah.
Who's the gate in the room?
It's just a tattoo up the side with a tail running down and going to ground just the way you'd like it.
Exactly. Roll the dice, see if you get there. There'll be touch of Mrs. McCluskey about her, isn't there?
There is.
Bridget McCluskey.
You wouldn't even Bridget the Midget. I don't think you could hypnotise Mrs. McCluskey.
No, not at all.
Just tell you to get back to your art license.
Since we're actually. I've already talked about Yes Minister, which I've been watching again for about the 8 billion
times. Oh, you're not going to slag her off, are you?
I have to.
You don't have to.
Who are you going
to
Yes Minister.
Because
now,
you do realise that if she now dies.
All right, well,
you're going to be a right
I'm live with that. But,
so who are you slagging off?
I mean, I listened to the Ghostwatch commentary last week. You two have a right fucking go at the psychologist in that.
She's not very good.
That's enough. Lynn Pascoe, I think you'll find she's called.
Dr. Lynn Pascoe.
Yeah. Lynn Pascoe.
But she doesn't have the best name, because the best name in it is Pam Early.
That's right. Yeah, Pam Early is a good name.
But it's a great name, we say that. But what I was going to say was, Paul Eddington, Yes Minister. They're all on Netflix. Watch them as many times as you can. Because what is staggering about...
You can set up all night and not think of that name.
It's a great name.
That's one
There's
of the
actually
names.
Also
in,
name,
in the Ghostwatch commentary. Please tell us we say the late Pam
Early. We talk about Pam Early. You call the late Pam Early. The other great thing about it that we don't talk. I was thinking a lovely summer's day there. The other thing that we don't talk about though is that it just struck me that if you put her initial in names, it would say Pearly.
So what were you going to say? We distracted you from.
Yes Minister, which is one of the great TV programs ever made. And as we know, look at that big crab up there that's just been steamed. Nice. Eddington, Humphreys, what's his name? That plays Humphrey, Appleby, Nigel Hawthorne.
Oh, yes.
Folds.
Derek Folds. And everyone else in it as well.
Frank Wiser's not great.
Absolutely fantastic.
He's alright.
Who's Frank Wiser?
The agent.
Ah, yeah, we don't
He's
like him very much.
He's not great.
Yeah, Mr. Weasel. Yeah.
Yeah, they get rid of him.
But the one that is absolutely shocking all the way through it is the actress who plays Paul Eddington's wife.
See, I contend this a little bit. Because I think she's good in the first episode.
Oh, she's terrible.
No, see, I like her.
She's practically bumping into stuff going, oh yes, I'm a politician's wife. I don't get to see anything.
No, that's...
She's terrible.
No, when they're waiting in the house to hear...
She's rubbish.
No, I don't think that at all.
You're wrong.
I like that she does the stuff at all.
Take that. That's a slap on your ram.
When she does the... when he's all nervous and all that. And I think she delivers her one funny line quite well.
Which is?
Well, when he says, somebody's got health, somebody's got the Foreign Office. What have I got? And she says, rhythm. Which I think she delivers quite well.
You delivered it better there. She's fucking terrible.
I'll
tell you, interestingly
enough,
I'm
not making an argument about anything other than that scene.
Do you know who else is terrible in it?
That scene.
The girl that plays his daughter.
Well, she only gets one episode.
Yeah, she's rotten in it.
Yeah. It doesn't say much, does it? The female characters aren't very good.
No, I think it's probably...
The only other female character in it that I can remember of any substance is...
Brenda Blethyn turns up in one as another MP.
Well,
and then what's her name? The very glamorous act, Eleanor Braun.
Aye, that's
what
I'm thinking
great,
of.
Yeah.
No, but she's very good. Brenda Blethyn. Oh, that's right. She turns up in one.
About the chemical factory in Liverpool.
Yeah, but it's better. But then Gwen Taylor's in Yes, Prime Minister, and it's probably the best of all.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the film.
Anyway, that's one.
I do, my son. All right.
Have you got your pen out again?
Yeah, I have.
I think you should click that, but not on
this
one.
That's weird.
In the future
look,
podcast.
Look,
yeah.
Look.
Yes.
Fucking Makata's got a wee dagger and he's gets pen out. Run, Jack.
Shove it
the
right
angel
to
of death
the middle
has
of Jack.
For you.
Not for the first time.
He's got great eyes, isn't he?
Yes.
Charlie Gray.
Gray by...
Oh, it's Charlie Gray.
Gray by name, Gray by nature.
Charlie,
look at
those
eyes.
I think he changed his name when Charlie became leader of Strathclyde Regional Council.
Oh, there they are. I'm your boss. That's how they need a Strathclyde because it should always sound. Oh, Lola!
That used to be the adverts for Strathclyde.
It is. I'm your
bus. I'm your bus.
You used to get that all over Scotland because they didn't split adverts then.
That's right.
So you'd be sitting in Edinburgh and you'd go, I'm your bus.
I'm your
bus. My fucking bus.
That's like we used to get adverts.
I've got one of those LRT ones that are painted like hearts.
Because we used to get the adverts for the Edinburgh Evening News.
Aye.
Used to say my grand fucking mental.
Yeah.
Can't even buy that. That looks quite good.
It used to be a great paper then, reading this.
Well, all papers used to be relatively good. Charlie Gray there. Charlie running his empire from fucking... I'm in charge of the fire brigades for open a ochle.
So what's happening now, Craig?
Well, it's
yeah, it's getting a wee bit...
it's... What's it called time? It's...
Sacrifice
the lassie time.
Okay,
the kids.
I'm going to kill this lassie. Uh-huh. Get that goat back. They only needed a goat before.
Yeah. Well, it's like all things. It's like drugs and pornography. It just keeps getting harder and harder.
Yeah. Although that's probably cheaper.
Mistakes.
The goat was basically Nina Hartley now.
You wonder, actually, what do you think the practicalities of running a secret satanic coven are?
Well, in those days before the internet was...
How do you afford shit?
Well, but the thing... Well,
you have to send telegrams.
I mean, look at them.
Stop.
Yes. Yeah, no... Please stop.
Coven meeting midnight, stop. Bring black candles, stop.
But that's the
sacrificing
thing.
Sacrificing child, stop. Use G of M.
You
go a bit quicker. God knows what we'll find.
They're not long been in the woods.
No.
And fucking blood everywhere and all that. Mm. And those outfits are immaculate.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, do you think there's just like some below stairs people like Rose and Ruby and all
just
that
turn up and
just going, oh, it's just the mistress's satanic robes. What's
for
tea?
That'll be. Do not ask questions.
Oh,
you need people need their place then.
Yeah.
They need not to ask questions.
Yeah.
Racist attack there.
Yeah. Oh, down you go.
We'll just stand and watch.
Well, we just stand and watch. Like, don't... Nobody at any point thinks to phone the police.
No.
Like, use those words. Yeah. Use those special words that she keeps saying. But the special words are, hello, is that the police? There's some badgers are going to murder a lassie. That'll get them round quite quick.
Oh, badgers, you say, sir.
Badgers, you say. Oh, we can snip those out. Those
I
buggers out.
They can't be coming out tonight because old Boggy be out.
Is that the place from
we'll,
the Box of Delights?
We'll
or
smoke
something?
Out those badgers.
No, the old Boggy thing is from...
Okay.
I haven't talked about this on the Box of Delights. It's one of the funniest things I ever saw on telly, which is an episode of Jeeves and Wooster where he's in a quote something minstrel band and he's blacked up and there's two policemen talking in a sort of fog-bound little tiny little shack somewhere in the countryside and he's talking about, oh, nights like this is when old Boggy's out. And then the blind goes up and there's Bertie and it's Hugh Laurie before he was good looking and he's feeling, oh, face, and he's blacked up and he goes, old Boggy, and they panic.
I'd be like one of your Morris dancers at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The racist Morris dancers.
But it's the sort of thing that will turn up. And Jack and I are going to a folk horror festival tomorrow in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm.
So what's the lineup then?
The lineup is
you're being sacrificed at 11 o'clock
in the morning. Well, I think you'll find that I'm picking you up at 10:30.
Then you're free for
at 8:30.
Then
the morning.
You're free for the rest of the day.
That's it. Yeah, that's you done. Uh-huh. Now I will dance the dance of the demons. With Rose.
So what's the itinerary? The
itinerary is I'll pick you up at, could you meet me outside what's it called?
This is very specific.
Tell me. Cafe that we all like.
Coyers.
Can you meet me outside there? Is that easy? At 8:30?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we'll drive through to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I know where to park because I'm from that hood.
Yeah,
and then we'll pick up the tickets. And then there's a range of talks and events throughout the day, including a special showing of this new film about Borley Rectory. Yeah.
What do you have your eye on then, apart from the film?
I can't remember.
Just
I'm going to look tonight.
Just a bit of Halloween.
Why are you not interested?
I'm
going to
meet my friend Dan there. That's going to be good.
Be nice. Why are you not interested?
Oh, it's too long a day.
I knew you wouldn't come, but I asked you anyway.
You did ask him. I was appreciative of your asking. Still will come.
What time's it finishing?
It's five.
There's
still
an evening event with music,
no,
but we won't be going to that.
See, Tanith is back to...
No, I mean, that
this is the wife is back to being possessed by Tanith.
Okay. Yeah,
somebody's just about to back into that fire.
That's nasty.
He looks a bit perplexed, the boy at the back.
He does.
Oh well, man. Oh come on.
So Gary, oh my goodness, I was here to rustle up a few extra meat courses.
Whatever happened to Robert Carey?
Like he drank too much.
Is he dead?
He must be dead.
I think he is.
What was he famous for? Was it just his wine?
No. For his...
what did he do?
Cookery program.
Well, he was an actor.
Right, yes. Was he?
Yeah, he's in shit like Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Wow.
As Fei Young Man. And then...
Is he a Chinese fellow?
Fei Young Man. And then, of course, the book came out. What was it called? Remember, you used to get it in that. There was Robert Carey's
cookery course or something.
It was just Robert Carey's cookbook, but there was another one because they came in a little box set.
Did they?
And sold like fucking 10 million copies. Everybody had them.
On a kick up the 80s, Robbie Coltrane did an impression of him saying, "Sometimes I like to come to the supermarket and check out the meat," and a young man walks past and he says, "And sometimes I do the shopping too," because you can make jokes like that there. His other great one was when he was Russell Grant, and he said, "And yes, Christopher, you are in Leo. Lucky old Leo," says I. He's a very good mimic, Robbie Coltrane. Something he doesn't do anymore.
Absolutely.
That's all wrapped up now.
Yeah, that's that.
So they all just disappear.
And then, well, the spell also sends them all back.
Yeah.
To when they were in the circle. Not in time to save the spider, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry, spider. Just trying to walk away. You burnt body.
Oh, I actually made
it. Like those ones that used to be on the telly. What was that programme called with the yellow one and the red one?
Oh, It's in Bits.
Yeah.
Christopher, I don't like spiders, of course. I famously was the person who found the spider.
As the person responsible for the creation of spiders, I was there when Dr. McCarter created the very first spider.
We had to cut to the
and
job.
I was there when the last spider was executed in Paris.
I was in the intelligence corps.
Turns out to be bollocks.
Of course, I wasn't a duke at all. I was, in fact, the Lord High Executioner.
What's happening here?
Why is there straw inside the house?
I don't know. It's into a tiny...
But some of the door as well.
They've gone over the top of the straw now.
They've overdone it.
Having complained about the lack of straw, now they put too much straw.
Now there's straw everywhere you fucking look.
Maybe that's why they had to stop it after this. See, it's back to where he was then.
Yeah, and
he walks in and
sorry,
she's still alive. She can still walk.
No, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
And you come. He looks mildly surprised.
It's a nice ending. Yeah. Come in, my friends.
It.
Simon's all right. Everyone's back.
Is there a payoff? Is there a funny payoff?
He turns to him and says, "Were you in the time machine?" He goes, "No, that was the other guy."
Here we go. Time itself has been reversed.
It's not really been reversed. Because it would just happen again if it was reversed.
Tannis, like, hang on, I died.
Is that, oh, right, thanks very much, Paul. Who the killed
ride,
me?
The ride to yeah. Chile, but, yeah.
You mean you killed me, you bastard. But now they've not happened.
But you can
but
remember
they have.
But you can remember them.
Yeah.
How's that work then, Duke?
It is my carter, I'm so safe.
The Duck of Death.
He has to take someone, see? Once summoned, cannot return empty-handed.
Bony-handed.
Exactly.
Tanith
has
been
restored
to restored us.
His, uh-huh. Age of Blood and Man's Life for a Life, uh-huh.
He's taken Paul Daniels. Well, you have a bath for me after the show, Tanith.
It's gone back in time, that Halloween trick really has gone wrong.
Don't say shit, say donkey-doo. Oh, he's taking the car, there you are.
Oh, well, fucking.
All right.
What about the rest of them?
Yes, Simon, thank God.
And that's about it, isn't it?
And now I shall sing a song in my rich baritone.
Yes.
Or do they all drive away in fucking Lord Bewley's
cars?
There,
look.
Fade to black.
Nice graphics they have.
Yeah,
I
love
those,
it. Do, 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 do. Nicky Arigi. That's a good name.
Nicky.
Leon Green.
Yeah, Leon Green.
Gwen for Fangor Davis.
It was indeed Frank and Davis. Oh, points to me.
Who was she?
She was googly-eyed.
Yeah, but what else? What do you know her from?
Oh, she was a long-established old great...
And was she googly-eyed all the time, or was she just googly-eyed
No,
for that?
I believe that was part of her method.
Marvellous.
She played Cleopatra like that.
So did you enjoy watching that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I enjoy it every time I watch it.
Yeah, so that's the first of our three
very beautiful
Halloween specials.
Halloween.
We'll see you for the next one.
Uh-huh.
Soon.
Soon.
Yes, soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.